This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daylight time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Monday. It's your sports bros here.
Asided.
Rob, that's me. Big Six right over there.
Without.
Still being terrified of the mega thrust.
He is back from spring training.
I don't know how I'm
on the fan.
I don't know how I'm going to continue.
It makes me sad.
You've got me all jammed up now. 10 to 22%.
Ryan Buckley is here. He's doing his thing over there. Although he's really upset right now because TGL is not going our way.
I wouldn't say I'm really upset.
You're upset. It's... this amount of weird, like anger that you have towards TGL Monday.
Do you have like $6
invested in this?
No, I have like $5 invested in this.
This may be the angriest I've seen anyone over $5 in the history of $5.
It's a big putt right
Boston
here,
wins the hole.
Boom. Hit it.
We got a ball game.
5-4. Let's go.
It's a hell of a thing. Hell of a thing when TGL Monday rolls around.
I think we get it tomorrow, too.
Yeah, don't forget about TGL Tuesday.
Well, now I'm on board with my TGL Tuesday, but Monday it throws me off.
It's just too much.
Yeah, it's too much.
I think the playoffs are coming up, aren't they?
They are. I believe that LAGC, LA Golf Club, clinched the number one seed.
I apologize to everyone for participating and somehow continuing this TGL talk. It's just I don't mean to. It just kind of sometimes spirals into it. But it is true that this is a non-bit. Buckley curses, like to just no one in particular. He just turns on the mic and curses
to
just
Isaac.
To the
ether. You know it's to Isaac.
Yeah, we're in it together.
He's just venting over some random TG.
Well,
it's like, this son of a bitch just hit it into the water.
You've been left out of this loop, but I will tell you, I send Isaac screenshot text messages in the mornings of the matches of who the lineups are and what the odds are, and I get his picks.
He didn't hit it into the water. He hit it into a big screen that happened to be blue.
And then, yeah, that's right. Something like that.
But it went into the water.
Oh, Ricky with a dart.
Jeez Louise.
They're doing highlights. Never mind.
Yeah. I'm done here.
We've already worn you out. You've been back for 2 hours.
I am worn out. TGL Monday broke me. I can't take it.
We've got a Deebo Samuel segment coming up.
Yeah.
And then we will talk about the end of an era we hardly knew ye, Myers Leonard.
Did you hear the song?
Complete with song.
Yeah. I didn't know you just like when you're like at the end of our era, are you going to give me a song?
It's possible.
I would hope so.
It might be to We Didn't Start the Fire.
Ooh. And by the way, when we hear, I would hope it's to this. Who knew Myers Leonard, by the way, sang bass for the Oak Ridge Boys, by the way. What was that?
Well, we're going to hear that coming up. If you didn't know, he put out a, or if you haven't heard, he put out a song commemorating his...
illustrious...
Well, he's retiring.
He's retiring.
Commemorating his retirement. And
I didn't know he was still playing.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't even know he was still playing either. So well,
Quick loves him, though. Remember, apparently, Jason Quick's a big Myers Leonard guy.
Well, Myers Leonard's a nice guy.
Yeah. He said that weird Jewish hate thing happened to him while, you know.
Well,
yeah,
I mean.
That was certainly something.
That didn't just happen to him. Well, he said it.
He said it.
So and he owned it.
Well, he claimed he didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
Which,
all right. But
hey, I bowled with him one time. He was a hell of a nice guy with mutton chops, and he throws a mean ball.
The era has become, okay?
The era has become. And we will, the era's over.
We will talk about that.
The era has not become. The era has ended.
Well,
become and gone.
It became.
The era has become.
I use that for both, coming and going.
Well, now we've entered it's a so new nonsensical. Era of country greatness.
So anyway, we'll play that for you. We also have Portland Diamond Project renderings.
But I'll tell you what. TGL may get Buckley's sports pants tight. These renderings, we're working on an overload here. Now, I still don't think it'll ever happen, but in case it does, my God, those things are beautiful.
So we'll get to that coming up right now, the Hot 5 of 5.
Oh! Hot topics.
I'm gay.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
I kind of wanted to see the Wang.
Number five.
Well, the Blazers are visiting the crappy-ass Sixers tonight.
Who would have thought the Sixers would end up with a much worse record than your Portland Trail Blazers?
Yeah, the Blazers are actually the better team. Now, yeah. They were the underdog. Jeremy Grant is not playing again tonight, but the Sixers at the half have the lead in a pesky battle of two crappy teams, 61-56.
See, this is my problem. In this sort of game, I feel like during clutch time, the Sixers were going to tank harder. The Blazers care at the end of these games. And I'll tell you right now.
And you're asking the question.
Why?
Why?
Yeah. They're going to end up with like 31 wins. What are we doing? They're going to end up with like the 11th overall pick. The
Chance of building that resume.
That's right. Chance factor.
Chance.
He doesn't give away anything.
No.
Is that good there?
That's all. We'll keep you posted.
Number four.
But probably won't.
Wiggins with 4 big points, by the way.
The Eagles have cut 6-time Pro Bowl corner Darius Slay.
He just had to save some money.
Saves him $4.3 million.
And by the way, he became expendable. You drafted 2 great corners that both had Pro Bowl rookie seasons, both on cheap deals. And Slay can still play. Someone will pick him up for a contender, Detroit Lions. Go get him. And Slay has been everything you could hope for since signing him in Philadelphia. Won a Super Bowl, 3 Pro Bowls, has played like 82 games. The guy's been rock solid. That was a great signing for Philadelphia. It just feels like this is what they do. Like, they just don't make a lot of bad roster moves.
Bengals have tagged wide receiver T. Higgins for the second year in a row.
Yeah.
And as expected, Jimmy Johnson has stepped away from Fox Sports. 31 years broadcasting for them. He is 81 years old.
Yeah, if you saw some of the Super Bowl stuff, he didn't really make the announcement, but he made the announcement.
Yeah.
There was a lot of
They did a farewell,
yeah,
and they teed him up to say goodbye, and he didn't say goodbye.
I apparently was waffling, but, you know, he's got all that extends money now, and he's 81. Lives somewhere down in Florida. He's the color of the sun.
I'm going to be pissed if on the final show that you do, I tee you up as only I can to sign off and you don't do it.
And then like a month later, I'm like, I'm out.
All right, I'm out.
I release my statement.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I'm going to do a Myers Leonard-esque song, but in my country voice.
Reports free agent quarterback Sam Darnold is most likely to end up with the Giants or the Raiders this offseason.
Yeah, well, now that the Stafford domino is fallen, Darnold becomes the second best option out there for teams in need of a quarterback.
Yeah, or Rodgers.
Yeah, that's true.
The Vikings are interested in bringing Darnold back, but The Athletic is reporting that it's more likely he'll go elsewhere. Titans and Steelers are 2 teams to watch out for Sam Darnold as well.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if... Because Darnold isn't necessarily a bridge quarterback. He's more, after the year he had, that's more Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield. So... I could see him ending up in a place like Pittsburgh. I think that would be an upgrade over what they had last year.
Number two. number two.
Over the weekend, the Niners traded wide receiver Deebo Samuel to the Commanders for a fifth-round draft pick. He reunites with Commies GM Adam Peters, who spent seven seasons in the Niners front office. Samuels is due $21.7 million in 2025, and he will pair with Terry McLaurin seemingly quite well.
Yeah, well, one, he's expensive. This is the last year of his deal. San Francisco's not bringing him back. They take the hit this year on the cap. Gives him flexibility when the Brock Purdy extension has to kick in next year. And Deebo, look, he's not what he is, what he was, and he's not a guy that can beat man coverage. He's a zone player. He can't be your number one. So when Ayuk went out, he really had a bad year for him because this is not, he can't be the number one guy. But playing alongside McLaurin, who is a true number one, he can be that zone beater for you. So if it's a one-year rental, which I think this is, because why do you extend a 30-year-old receiver with a lot of wear on his tread? But for Washington, I get it. And you got a ton of cap space. So I see why they're doing it. I just don't think this is going to have the impact that some people think.
Let's do it.
That's it, baby.
You look at these receivers around this age, and from Stephon Diggs to Davante Adams going to New York, you know, and these just don't usually make the impact that we think they're going to make. It's not the player he was.
And number one, the ACC, for now, will stay together. Florida State and Clemson are close to finally setting their lawsuit with the league. The official vote comes tomorrow. The settlement hinges on a revenue distribution model based off of television viewership.
Well, 60-40 split in that. So 60% will be the traditional payout revenue, and then 40% will be based on how many eyeballs you get and success.
See, I heard it the other way around. I thought it was 40% is flat to everybody.
Oh, is that perverse then? Okay.
60% of the league's revenue will be distributed based on a 5-year rolling average of TV ratings.
Maybe I had that flip. But they're saying it could mean up to basically, if you had a successful run, it could mean up to like a $15 million bump for these schools. It also reduces the exit fee to, they believe, now under $100 million after the 2030 season. So no one can get out over the next couple years. But remember, this deal runs through 2036. And so as the changing landscape after 2030, you know, if you want to write a check for $95 million, you could get out of this. So, you know, it's a...
$95 million instead of $120 million.
Yeah, well, and the worst part about the $120 million you had to pay, and they got to keep your rights. So you couldn't even get your games aired on a new network if you left, which was a killer. So all this stuff about Florida State was going to find a way out of this. No, they weren't. So you come to some sort of middle ground here. It stabilizes the conference for the next 5 years, and then who knows what college football is going to look like in 5 years. And then if they want to, they could find a way to try to get out of that after that. It's still a ridiculous amount, but it wouldn't be the $120 million, and they wouldn't own their grant of rights after they left. So it's a middle ground there, but Florida State and company weren't just going to walk away from the ACC after they signed two deals.
Well, this lawsuit worked. I mean, they got more of what they wanted.
Yes, yes.
Victor Rico's Mexican Food brings you the Hot 5 at 5, 19 locations across Oregon and Washington, now in Lacama Square in Vancouver. Find a location near you at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. All right, we have renderings coming up next on The Fan. Well, we have renderings of a ballpark, new Major League Baseball stadium in Portland to help you dream further about that reality.
Yeah, prepare to have your hopes raised and then dashed, but it's gorgeous. I mean, this is, they hit it out of the park.
Yeah, so apparently Craig Cheek and the Portland Diamond Project met with the House Committee on Economic Development, Small Business and Trade, and included Portland Mayor Keith Wilson this morning, and they gave them renderings of what a ballpark could look like. Cheek says that they could break ground on a stadium by 2027 if they are awarded a team.
That's kind of a big if. So,
well, it's expansion. You know, for the longest time, we thought, you know, would Portland get the A's? Mm-hmm. Would Portland get the Rays? And the answer to all of that, or both of those, is a hard no. So they've moved on to expansion. And that's kind of what we said all along, is that expansion is probably more likely because they definitely need a team in the West Coast time zone.
Yeah.
So apparently it's Portland or Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it's come down to.
That's the battle.
And then they want to be Nashville. Looks like that's kind of a slam dunk on that side. So, but if you go and look, I mean, you can find them everywhere: Oregon Live, KGW, you name it. But it's right there at the old Zedell Yards. And I mean, I don't know how, if you are even a remote sports fan, even if you're not a huge sports person, how you can look at that. Because right now there's just nothing down there. And it's right across from the Tillicum Bridge there. And I mean, there's places to dock your boat. There's just the whole thing. It looks like kind of the new Portland airport. There's a lot of timber and steel kind of mixed in together. A lot of spiral rock walkways around it. Not a big outfield. More like kind of the giant stadium where you can hit it out of the park into the water. A unbelievable cool looking retractable roof. It's just amazing.
Yeah, the thing I like about it, these renderings right up in here.
Right up here. Now.
Well, if you think about, okay, so Zedell Yards is right off of I-5 there. If you're going north on I-5.
Between like the Ross Island and...
Headed towards downtown, home plate will be right on your right.
Yes.
If you think about it that way, and then they will hit out, like you said, they will hit out towards the water. And it does look like you could lace one on the left field side.
Mm-hmm.
And get the ball wet.
Yes.
Because there is not... The thing I like about these renderings is there is nothing in the outfield blocking your view of what it seems to be. It will frame Mount Hood in the background. And then, as you said, the Tillicum Crossing Bridge is there closer. But
kind of similar between the Ross Island and the Tillicum Bridge. And it just...
There's no scoreboard in the... Like, the scoreboard and the video boards are on the sides.
Yep.
So it is wide open from the left field foul pole to the right field foul pole to just look at the view. Mm-hmm. And there's not a ton of outfield seating. Mm-hmm. So...
I think more of a tiered, cool. tiered stadium seating behind home plate. Kind of old school Yankee stadium style.
And the thing, too, about it is that's only a 33-acre property. I mean, if you go there, if you drive by there...
It's not that big.
And you look at that, you would be like, how on earth do they fit a baseball stadium in there?
Yeah.
And I asked that of Barrett once. I'm like, dude, Zedell Yards, how the hell do you cram a stadium in there? He's like, you'd be surprised. He goes, San Francisco's ballpark, where, you know, Buck's a big fan of the stupid Giants, you know, and all those guys down there. He said that ballpark is on actually a smaller parcel of land.
Tiny little postage stamp.
Yeah.
So this would be one of the smaller footprints of a baseball stadium, but it would not be the smallest, which is why they need the Red Tail property to do more develop to make their money back. But it would just be a cozy little sweet spot right in between the two bridges, and I couldn't be more excited. And in some ways, this kind of pisses me off because... At least when I didn't have the renderings, like, I didn't have anything to really get excited about other than just a dream. When I see this, oh my God, I want this to happen so bad. And I'm hopeful, but I'm not confident.
Well, Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball commissioner, is probably leaving in 2029.
Yeah.
And by that time, he has said he wants to expand to 32.
Yeah, the saving, you know, as he goes out, his final...
That's what he wants.
...piece will be, here's a couple billion dollars, owners, I'm bringing you two new teams.
So Nashville is has leapt to the front of the line.
Yeah.
Portland, who was way back, like, they started this in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Portland was near the top. It is now racing with Salt Lake City.
Yeah, for a while it looked like we were the only ones, and then Salt Lake said, not so fast. And if you've paid attention to Salt Lake recently,
well,
they get us done.
Well, you know that there is a city that got Major League from the time Portland Diamond Project started to now, there is actually a city out west that got a team in between that time, in between those times.
Well, Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we were all thinking at that time, we're like, see, this is how quickly this stuff changes. Because at that time, we were like, Vegas, I don't know, is it too hot? They've already got a team.
Yeah.
So they got the A's, they're out of the picture. But then here comes freaking Salt Lake.
I know.
So Portland, you know, I would say, here's all I can say about the timing of it, because it is a lot about timing. The stars all have to align at the same time. They've been working very hard on this for a long time. They are a very competent group, and they do have ownership money. They do. I know people don't believe that, but they
do. It's true. They have it.
The hard part 100%. The hard part is that, I think it's a good thing that when COVID hit and we had all the riots and we had the homeless issue which still is a problem, but you know what I mean? Like, it was really bad in Portland. It just felt like this was completely off the table.
Yeah.
Well, with the timing of everything, I think one positive thing is it has taken Major League Baseball so long to expand.
We've been able to get on
that. We're kind of on the other side of that. We're still not there yet, but I think the timing looks better than it did, say, 3 or 4 years ago when we were looking at this going, well, there's no chance now.
3, 4 years ago, this was just, dude, we had zero, like you said, zero chance. And it does feel like, look, I think we're still the underdog in this, but I think we've got a puncher's chance. I do. But and it also helps for the first time that city leadership appears to want this. Because they know that this would be a massive win. I mean, when was the last time someone dumped a couple $1 billion worth of investment into the city? And it transforms that whole south waterfront down there. And again, just look at the renderings. The waterfront walkway that wraps around the park, the docks for all the boats, the kayakers out there. I've always said this about our city. If you've been to places, I don't think there's a city that uses its waterways worse than we do. We have a river that runs through the middle and splits our city. And let me ask you, what is there, like, what do we have on the Willamette that's cool?
We don't utilize it at all. It should be the focal point, the center of the city.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was always weird. I'm a Midwest boy.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe that when I first moved here. I'm like, there's nothing on the water here.
No.
It's odd.
Yeah. It's just, it's so strange. I mean, like,
except for that Stanford's restaurant that was down there.
I know, which I don't even know what
that's now closed.
I don't even know what that is anymore. But we have all these bridges. We have actually two waterways because you can go out on the Columbia there. And, you know, so we got the Columbia and the Willamette, or the Willametta that intersect. And because we rent a boat a couple times a year that lets you in right by OMSI right there. And then we take it down the Willametta and you go out on the Columbia. And dude, the vast majority of things when you're making that drive, they're like silos and abandoned like tankers. Every time we go down there, I just look to the sides and I'm like, how? Waterfront property is the most expensive property you can buy. How is it that our waterfront property is just seemingly a pile of crap and unused yards? So this would be amazing. And finally, as someone said, Scoot could go to that lake. We could just tell him it's a lake. He won't
go to that lake.
All right, a Debo segment next. Here's Buck.
A couple texts that are rolling in. I wish we could tell you more, but to everyone out there, and I get it, there is a owner for the Portland Diamond Project. You can't even explain why you can't say who he is, but trust us.
How do you know it's a male?
That is true. There is a good reason why we can't, or anyone can't, say who it is.
Girl, you something else.
But despite all the conspiracy theories, it's not some shadow figure. It is real. They are real, and they have plenty of money.
Look, don't buy Major League Baseball to Portland, okay? And I totally.
But for that aspect, that's not true.
People don't buy it, and I totally understand that sentiment. Yes. Okay, I get it. But
he's a real guy.
We'll see.
They are a real person. Jody Allen, ladies and gentlemen.
It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what is revealed.
People will
and how
still,
close this gets. There are so many people that have been burned by all this talk. I mean, dude, this has been going on for 30 years. And I'm not even kidding.
No.
This started in like 2001.
Yeah, something like that.
So not quite, 25 years.
We've both been here 20 plus years, and we all remember the push and the bumper stickers.
So,
and
so I don't blame anyone for just being like, oh, come on. I get that. But,
fiddlesticks.
You know, I think it's a more real proposition than a lot of those people think.
Yeah.
So Debo Samuel is now a Commander. Does that make you sad, Buckley?
It makes me sad.
It does not. I'm pleased because I honestly thought the Niners were going to cut him. I thought that if they couldn't get a deal done, they were just going to be done with him.
Well, and and it doesn't really change much of anything.
They still have to take some dead cap hit there, but at least they get compensation for it. So
you get
I'm okay with
it. Round pick, and look, he's got 1 year left on his contract. He's 29 this year. He's coming off his worst season. I wasn't in the best shape. There's a lot of tread on those tires, and he just isn't a number one guy. And
people thought he might have come into camp about 20 pounds over last year.
No, boy.
Well, when you take Ayuk out of it again. Receivers, a lot of it is just fit. Debo is not an outside number one receiver.
No.
He's a yards after catch guy. He's a zone beater, but he's not beating man coverage. And so when you get rid of Ayuk, who was their man beater, and Debo becomes their number one guy, he's just not hard for number one corners to cover. And he's just not a guy that's going to win one-on-one matchups. But against a team where the first corner has to go play on the other side, and you do have a guy that can win one-on-one matchups, Debo can, I think, can still be a solid, productive player. But if you're thinking you're getting 25-year-old Debo, that because his best year was, what, that 3 or 4 years ago where he got the big deal and he ran for 8 touchdowns and he caught 75 balls, but he is not a 100-catch guy. He's not even a 100-target guy. So I think we just naturally overvalue guys with names in the NFL. This is what we always do. And we love to overvalue receivers in general. When you look at all the receivers that are around this age, and you know me, 30-plus year receivers, and he's right on that. He'll still play at 29 this year. Never, ever give a contract, a big contract with guaranteed money to a receiver 30 or over. So when you, and but Tyreek Hill comes into this, like we still think of Tyreek Hill as like this, the best player in at his position. He is not. He's now on the wrong side of 30, and he's just a guy. But whether that's Devontae Adams, whether it's Stephon Diggs, Debo Samuel will fit into this. I'm trying to think of some of the others over the last handful of years that have been like this, that we see it every year in free agency, where one of these receivers goes somewhere and we're like, oh, Mike, can you imagine what happens when Devontae Adams goes? And then you look up at the end of the year and you're like, he's a guy. He's just a guy.
Yeah, but I think it's a good fit, though. One, you have McLaurin on the other side.
Yes, and that's the biggest part of this.
You have Cliff Kingsbury, who I think will be interesting to see how he slides Debo. And I mean, it's amazing that McLaurin has been as good as he is with nobody else around him.
No, he's the only...
So now Debo will draw a little bit of attention away from McLaurin, and that's a good thing. And Kingsbury's, you know, that's an interesting fit. I also think, you know, Debo... No, not what he once was.
Yeah.
But that dude's tough, man.
Yeah.
He is physical and he's tough. And he seems like he's always hurt but still playing. And I think that shouldn't be overlooked either.
Yeah. He's a big locker room guy. He's got playoff experience.
Yeah, guys love him.
Guys love him. He's the guy that leads the team out of the tunnel even when he's not playing well. Like, he's a galvanizing force there. The Niners are going to miss that aspect of him.
And
with another good team, like an up and coming team like the Commanders, I think it's a good fit for him.
Well, I think you need a guy like Debo who's I just think you need a toughness, for lack of a better term. I think you just need a toughness leader.
Sure.
Whatever that is.
And hopefully this gives him a little
bit.
And it's a contract year, and so his fat butt hopefully is motivated to go out and show out. And you had the best point, because I said he can't be the number one guy, but he's not. Scary Terry is the number one guy in Washington. And so you're not going to get man coverage rolled to Debo. Anyone that watched the 49ers play knows, dude, that guy just was not equipped to handle it when Ayuk went down. Not going to have to do that with Washington. They're probably going to draft another guy. And so, yes, this is a nice fit for him. By the way, the other guy I was thinking of was Armani Cooper, who, right, goes to Buffalo, and we're like, oh, man, they got Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper at the end of the year? A guy. So just be careful with aging. Receivers don't age like wine. They age like bread. Cooper Kupp ages like bread.
Debo may give you some games and some moments, but he's not going to go there and be a week in, week out game changer for them.
No, he's not. So,
but they only gave up a fifth for him, though.
Fifth for him.
Right. I mean, that's
all you need.
And, you know, look, watch out for the commies, man, because they have the holy grail of football, which is a star quarterback who is on a rookie deal.
Yes,
and I know that maybe some people are skeptical that they're going to be that great. Maybe it was just one run to the NFC title game, and they're not that. Well, they have Jaden Daniels on a rookie deal, and they have, I think, maybe top two most cap space in the league.
Yes, they have.
Do they not?
Ton of money.
So then they just add, you know, and they do deals like that. You know, like, it's amazing how ownership, just like instantly changing owners, has made them a winning franchise.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, and hitting the jackpot on the quarterback.
But this is a new, but it's all new management.
Yes.
And so it's like, I think the lesson is that it just doesn't take. You have to find the quarterback, and you also just have to have really good ownership.
Yeah.
Those two things, if you get those in an instant, you can flip the script on your franchise tomorrow.
So what and it'll be interesting to see which way they go, right? Because I'm going to look at a couple teams that I would put in this kind of realm. One is the Houston Texans, right? Texans were dog crap, right? And then in 1 year, they go out and they get C.J. Stroud, and they get Will Anderson, and they got Nico, who turns out to be a great player, and Tank Dell. And all of a sudden, they make a run, and we're like, holy crap, here come the Houston Texans, right? Got a bunch of space. And they go out and do something aggressive. They go get Stephon Diggs, and we're like, man, this team, you know, at Joe Mixon, right? And we're like, oh, here come the Texans. And then this year, can we all agree that the Houston Texans were two thumbs, meh? Now, they haven't. You still think the Houston has a bright future, but right, like there wasn't this big jump. And then, so Houston, it's yet to be seen where they go, but that's a team that you would assume is on the rise. The cautionary tale is the Cincinnati Bengals, because Cincinnati goes out, and this is like where you said,
bad owners. There you go.
So you go out and you make that run that no one saw coming, but unlike Washington, they got over the hump, right? And they got Joe Burrow, and they got Higgins, and they got Jamar Chase, and they, you know, and they've got this young defense with Jesse Bates, and they got Hendrickson, and you know, here come the Cincinnati Bengals, and they make that run to the Super Bowl. And since then, they've butchered their draft. They make piss poor decisions. They've angered their quarterback. They've angered their best players, and they refuse to spend any money. And it feels like Cincinnati, their window is slamming. They make the playoffs this year. So if you're Washington, there's a fine line you have to tread between Cincinnati, where you do nothing and you wait for this thing to marinate and it doesn't do anything. Houston, who got really aggressive, maybe a bit too aggressive, but still you would think that window's open. And now Washington just has to find that sweet spot, because there is no reason that the Commanders, with a good draft or two, shouldn't be a Super Bowl team
right. In
the next 5 years.
No
the
question.
Window is wide open. Maybe the best blueprint right now for a young team in the league, and they just have to get this right over the next offseason or two, and they have set themselves up. If you butcher it, you're the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they don't have that many holes to fill.
Yeah.
I mean, they just made the NFC title game.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like they're the best team in the league, but
that's the beauty part, is they made it, and there are so many places they can get better.
Yeah.
And they've got money.
They've got money and the draft.
Yes.
And the quarterback.
This
and the coach.
Yes.
And the offensive coordinator.
This is
you only pay a fifth for Debo. Like, things are looking good.
Yes.
Things are looking good.
If I'm a Commanders fan, I think it's okay to start believing that great things. But again, that's what we said about Houston. And I thought Houston took a step back this year. And some of that was injuries.
But my point about ownership is that, you know, if you're a Washington fan, if Dan Snyder were still the owner, you just know that they would screw this up.
Just
even
like
if
Cincinnati.
Even if they had Daniels, you just know that they would screw it up.
Yeah.
And with this new owner, I think you feel better about it.
Yes.
Doesn't mean it's going to be right. Yep. Just gives you a better chance.
Yes. I am very bullish. It's like I was bullish on the Texans. I'm very bullish on Washington, because you mentioned it. When you hit on a quarterback like this and you have good young talent to go around him, and seemingly you're pretty smart about adding those pieces and you got a good young coach, this should be a home run.
They're in the window.
Yes.
And so is Denver, by the way.
Yeah.
With Bo Nix.
Yeah.
You know, you got a rookie quarterback.
Yep.
Second year quarterback on his rookie deal. And
I'd make two.
That's where you build it.
Well, and remember too that roster, they were still eating crap from the Russell Wilson thing. So as that money comes off the books, remember that was supposed to be a hard reset. So if you're Denver, you really like where you're at. And the other one too that I really like, because it's not a rookie quarterback, but remember the Chargers tore that thing down to the studs last year. They got rid of a lot of crap. And from an offensive standpoint, that was probably their worst roster since Herbert's been there. They're gonna cut Bosa and move on from him. And so this roster is kind of turning over, and there's going to be some wiggle room and room to play here. And all of a sudden, you look at the Chargers, and you're like, that's the worst they're going to be in theory with Harbaugh there. And they were a playoff team last year. So dude, there's some young up-and-coming teams that, if done right here, they're in these crucial 2 year windows where you could really do something, but none better than Daniels. Cause I think you can make a strong case right now, the best quarterback in the NFC is Jaden Daniels. And no offense to Jalen Hurts, no offense to Dak Prescott, no offense to Jordan Love. It clearly, if you said I had to start my franchise with one, it's not even a question. You take Daniels, but I just think in general, it is a safe thing to say right now that the best quarterback in that conference is Daniels, and he's on a rookie deal, and you have all that cap space. I mean, God, you just that doesn't happen, and yet here it is.
And meanwhile, the Niners are still searching, as good as they've been. Still searching.
Well, and there's his, and they're going to pay Brock.
Sorry, so, but
window's tricky.
And it makes me sad.
A lot of old dudes.
Well, and if you're Brock's agent, you know, look at the deal that Jordan Love got and the deal that Trevor Lawrence got. You know who has significantly better numbers than either one of those? And by the way, more starts? It's Brock Purdy. And yet everyone expects Brock to take some sort of Baker Mayfield-like deal.
Not going to happen.
Oh, that's going to happen. Because you're going to sit there and be... And by the way, that's not up for debate. You can bring up Jordan Love and Trevor Lawrence's numbers and simply say, in every meaningful category, Brock has been better, and by the way, significantly better.
All right, let's say goodbye to the great Myers Leonard, coming up next on The Fan. Well, our bet, TGL bet tonight, did not win.
It's all right, we'll be ready for the playoffs.
At one point, Buck just goes, because I paid no attention to you idiots when it comes to this, but... I can, Buck, all I hear, Buck, is this right here. What the hell was that? I could have done better. You're hitting the I could have done better than that?
Yes, I am.
I think he actually could.
Yeah,
I think
because this wasn't a shot that took golf skill. This was a putt up onto a lip, and he didn't even make the lip. I promise you I could have made the lip.
Adam Scott is who he is lamenting at this moment.
Buckley at this point says Adam Scott should never play in this event again.
Oh, no, that was Rob.
I didn't say here. Should. I said he you will won't. Probably quit now. He's like, this is stupid. I'm leaving.
I'm out.
Never play again.
It appears that Rory, who's invested in it, also thinks it's stupid because he plays poorly.
Yeah, and Rory has yet to win.
Yeah.
In his own bit. Because he's, you know, like the co-owner of it.
Really, he and Tiger.
The founder.
He clearly doesn't care.
Well, guys, the era has become. Or yeah. If you like to use that as the era hasn't become. What would be the opposite
the
of the era?
Became.
The era became.
Yes.
The era has
the era became
become.
And went.
Yes. Myers Leonard has retired.
Who knew Myers Leonard was still playing?
From the NBA. And he did it. With a song. Mm-hmm.
Apparently he's a country singer now.
This is him.
With the 11th pick.
And here it is.
The 2012 NBA draft. The Portland Trailblazers select Myers Leonard from the University of Illinois.
Now, did he write the music?
He's a songwriter, he said.
I was a little boy in Illinois shooting socks into a bin.
I'm sorry, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Dreaming of the year.
Sounds like Luke Bryan or something.
While the clock counts down from 10.
That's not his real voice.
That's him?
Yeah.
That's Myers Leonard?
Yeah. He's doing a southern accent, even though he's from Illinois.
Just
but,
a hoop and me.
Sorry.
I'll always love that 2010 team, man. We made history.
Shut up.
And I can still see that comeback soon sign leaving Robinson. I lived everything I'd ever known. Headed up north, 100 miles from home. I was missing them like they were missing me. My first game, they packed all the seats. Sometimes moments in life are only meant to last for a little while. Some make you laugh, others make you cry. There ain't no doubt in my mind. There's good and goodbye.
There's good and goodbye.
Good and goodbye is the name of the song.
In goodbye. Okay.
There's good and goodbye.
That's cool.
Nice.
It's very
cool. Like, dude, this is pretty good.
It doesn't suck.
Yes.
Those 2 years at the U of I, man, I swear they flew right by.
That accent's a little cringe, right?
Yeah, a little. Dude, you're familiar with it, dude. You don't.
Led to falling in love with the love of my life. And just like that, I closed my eyes, and that orange and blue turned to red and white. I left everything I'd ever known, hopped on a flight and hit the West Coast. Even when I was missing home, I had her to hold me.
Aww.
Sometimes moments in life,
shout out to the boys, okay?
Last for yeah. A little while, some make you laugh, others make. There ain't no doubt in my mind. There's good and goodbye. Yeah, there's good and goodbye. And while those teams, fans, and seas. nothing like walking in the door and seeing my wife and my little boy. Sometimes moments in life are only meant to last for a little while. Some make you laugh, others make you cry, but there ain't no doubt in my mind there's good and goodbye.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
What? How'd that get in there?
I liked it. It's the remix.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Listen.
Yeah. It's a good little melody.
Yeah.
If you had told me, so I knew that he sang this because he posted it on social media.
Yes.
But let me tell you something. If you told me, you just played that for me and said, who is that? It's Myers Leonard's tribute song. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, that sounds like Randy Travis.
Sure.
I don't know. It's a country singer that he hired. Yeah. I would never say that's him.
No.
That was pretty good. And dare I say, he's a better singer than basketball player. Well, he should have pursued a career in being a country music star.
The only thing that doesn't fit is
he's
the
handsome.
Accent for who he is or whatever. Well, but if you were from Texas, it would sound like a bona fide country song.
It's a little weird because, like, dude, if
you're... Can you fake that is what you're saying?
If you're a black guy and you're from Portland, Oregon, and then you go out and you do a Jamaican reggae accent, right? Isn't that a little weird? I'm sorry, like, I'm from Anchorage, Alaska via Vancouver, Washington. I can't all of a sudden show up and be like, he's good and goodbye. It's weird. You're doing fake bits. Like, we murder Brian Kelly... Like, I can't have a Cajun accent.
It's just kind of how you sing, well, I think, when you're a country singer.
It's a bit...
No mention of the Jews.
No mention of the Jews. Well, he is a country singer, so all of a sudden you're like, well... Look, that's my only thing. That and the other point I'll make, because by all accounts, when I had interaction with him, Myers Leonard was a very nice guy.
Yeah.
I like Myers Leonard. And, like, Jason Quick swears by the guy. But... You did a goodbye song. You averaged 4 points a game.
Fair. That's fair.
Do we need a goodbye song?
Yeah, it's a little sort of self-absorbed, maybe.
You averaged 4 points.
In a way.
Well, like the Kobe love letter to basketball?
Well, no. Kobe can write a love
letter. No, because Kobe was Kobe.
He's Kobe.
Hey, in Meyer's mind, he's allowed to do the same thing.
He averaged four points and like 2 rebounds. I'm not certain that 4 points gets you a goodbye song.
My family.
You know,
does it matter that he's got a bunch of followers on social media? Does that change it for you? No, he was not the greatest player, but he did build up quite a following on social media. So you want to do the song for the people.
Well, and then he signed it. He signed it Goodbye the Hammer. I also don't know if 4 points gets you a nickname, but you know, he did make the best thing he did. He made $60 million. $60 million.
Yeah, 4 years, $40 million from Molshay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And he's a handsome devil.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying. He should have put a cowboy hat on that guy. What is he? He's 7 feet.
He's 7 feet.
Put a cowboy hat on him.
Look.
You know, chisel that chin.
Yeah, he's already got it.
Look, sing with those deep pipes, dude. He's a star.
Anybody can do country. Taylor Swift grew up in Pennsylvania, and then she went country before she went mainstream. You can do it.
Well, who's the donkey that did, like, honky tonk, badonkadonk? The big tall guy. He's got the same sort of deep voice like this. And he's doing movies now. God, why can't I think of his name? He sings just horrible. He has a song called Honky Tonk Badonkadonk. Like, I'm not, that's a
Are
real.
Are you talking about Dwight Yoakam?
No way.
Because he's great.
Trace Atkins.
Trace Atkins is like 6'9". He sings the worst songs known to man.
Lord have mercy, how'd she even get them bridges on?
How'd she get them bridges on?
Badonkadonk.
Can you turn that off?
Why can't? All I'm saying is, if that dude at 6'9" can like take his shirt off and sing this crap, why can't Myers Leonard? I think Myers Leonard
chose the wrong career.
He did. Well, now he's going.
And
he's
by the
going
way,
the country road.
Might I? One little last nitpicky thing.
Yeah.
He said that 2010 team made history. What? Like, what is he talking about?
I'm assuming he's talking about Illinois. But I looked.
Oh,
at...
Oh, was he in college?
I looked at. He was on the 2010-2011 Illinois team. I too was confused by that.
Did they go to a Final Four?
No, they lost to Kansas in the second round.
Did they like win the Big Ten for the first time in a while?
Maybe they won the Big Ten.
No, they did not.
What is he talking about?
I too was confused. So his college career at Illinois, it was 2010.
Were they historically bad?
And I would also like to point out that he averaged 2 points and 1 rebound.
Wow.
And I don't know why they made history, but that would be 2010. Believe me, I said the same thing, and I immediately went and looked it up because I wanted to know.
They were 20-14 and were a 9 seed.
And they lost to Kansas, in the second round. So,
with Bruce Weber.
Huh. I don't know what history they made. And by the way, I looked at the next year thinking maybe it was like the next year they made history. They didn't make the tournament. So
I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
Will we?
No.
We'll never know.
I'm confused as to how they made history in.
Maybe he was talking about the Blazers.
Well,
were they any good that year?
Well, no, he was in Illinois.
Well,
he played 2 years.
But maybe he was talking about the Blazers.
No, he said he made history. They made history.
We made history, right? Like he being he with whoever he was with.
Well, he was selected for the under-19 World Championships by USA Basketball.
Did they do something?
To the media champions. No, they placed fifth. They placed fifth in the 2011 FIBA Under-19 World Championships in Latvia.
We're going to need some clarity on all this history-making that
Myers thinks he's been doing. So I will say that if he's going with that, I would make the argument that being a 9 seed and losing to Kansas is better than finishing fifth in Latvia at the Under-19 Championships.
Well, rest in peace, Myers.
It makes me sad.
We're very sad to see you go.
But hey, you got a good singing voice.
You do. You have a beautiful family. I think deep down, listen, I'll just say this. I'm being very serious. I think deep down that Myers Leonard is a good human being. I do think that.
Okay? Like I said, Jason Quick, who has been doing this a long time, and I really do trust Quick, and Quick swears by him and says he is one of the most genuine, nice human beings you will ever encounter. And
so he got caught in the one bad moment. He had some things. He said some things. He did some things, and things, it wasn't the best. You know, he got a lot of heat, too, from Blazer fans, when he first started because he kind of sucked and everybody was jumping down his throat. And, it's just that wasn't an easy ride.
No.
For him.
No, he had a tough...
Some of it self-inflicted. Yeah. But, I hope he has a night. How old is that guy now? 32?
He is 33 years of age.
Think about that. 33. He's got $60 million in the bank, or whatever.
Yeah, beautiful wife.
A young kid. He's
top
golden.
Of the world.
And he can sing like that?
Yes.
The man's golden.
Yeah.
Myers Leonard, we hardly knew you.
The Hammer.
That makes me uncomfortable. Do you know why?
He's the Hammer.
Because the report is out, not the report, the scuttlebutt out on the PGA Tour is that Tommy Fleetwood is called the Hammer because of the hammer in his pants.
Oh.
Because he's swinging that hammer down there.
So it kind of...
Milton Burrow was known as the Hammer, too.
That's what I mean.
That's kind of...
The Hammer needs to have a hammer, if you know what I mean.
You think the Hammer does the mega thrust?
I do, actually. All right, Dr. Dan kicks off the club next on The Fan.